If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9, verse number 27. Would you pray for us in Hebrews, chapter number 9, verse number 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen. Father, as we come tonight before the throne of grace, we do thank you, Father, for this privilege that you've given us to come this way. And Lord, we ask you tonight for that anointing and that touch from heaven. Oh God, that you might be exalted, that your wonderful name might be lifted up in everything. God, we do thank you tonight. Give us that direction, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, for it's in Jesus' dear name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated tonight, and we want to draw our text from verse number 27. I realize tonight that it is a familiar text, a familiar verse in the scriptures. I've had several thoughts going through my mind in the last week, a couple of different messages, and I just felt impressed that this is the way that God would have us to go tonight. And I'm not going to question God. I'm just going to leave it in God's hands. But if you notice again that the Bible said that and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And I want to preach on this thought tonight, how to die. It is a subject that nobody likes to think about, much less talk about. There are some in this world tonight that do have a morbid curiosity and an evil fascination with death. That's why that you see so many of these television programs that deal with vampires and subjects like the Walking Dead. So they have an evil fascination with death, but they have no idea of the realities that do come with the death. Listen, we're in changing times as we look around us. And I read something today and thought about that folks and things are changing, and that in order to make death more acceptable and more palatable to folks, and to try to remove the sting of death. Listen, my mother's generation, they used to set up with the dead. They would bring them to the home and they would set up with them. My generation, my younger days, I remember when you'd go to the funeral home the night before, and there would be the visitation. The next afternoon, there would be the funeral service and the graveside service. Now they try to compact that thing down together. There was the time when the hearse and everything that was associated with death was the color of black. Now you're liable to see a hearse that is blue or white. And I say all of that tonight because there is that is changing and trying to alter the idea of death and everything that it has to do with. But our text tonight reminds us that each of us have an appointment with death. In First Samuel, chapter number 20, and verse number 3, we find that David is talking with Jonathan. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach on that thought this week. I don't know if I'm trying to talk God into it or God's trying to talk me into it. But there is David and Jonathan. And Jonathan's father Saul is trying to take the life of David. And Jonathan said, no, that'll never happen without my daddy letting me know about it. But David said that there is but a step between me and death. And I want to say tonight that there is but put a step between each of us and death tonight. Psalm 89 and verse 48 said, "What man is he that liveth and shall not to see death?" For we understand tonight that death can come suddenly and that it can come unexpectedly. Listen, I've got at least an hour drive, depending on how fast we head that way. When this service is over, I'm going to tell you tonight, running late, that it's only by the grace of God that we made it this far. Listen, but you may not have as far to go as I do, and death can find you on the highway. What I'm saying is that death can come unexpectedly. It can come quickly, and it can come suddenly. My wife's dad was at home vacuuming the floor and had a heart attack, and the doctor said that he was dead before he hit the floor. I'm saying that it can come in a moment of time. Listen, for each and every one, unless the Lord were to come, one of these days death's hand is going to reach down and it's going to take your soul and take your spirit, and all that's going to be left behind is this tabernacle of clay. It's going to be this that houses me and you. So the hand of death is going to come and reach down and get you. And no matter how much you resist, no matter how much you fight, no matter how much you don't want to die, there's not going to be anything that you can do in that to stop it. I've been around those as they were making that final journey. And to the last one, I'm sure you know about the death growl. Listen, and they've got a gasp for breath. And it's a length of time before the next one. And what that is the body trying to hold on. Listen, not wanting to succumb, fighting against death. But it is a losing battle. I believe it was Queen Elizabeth the First tonight that said, "Millions, millions would I give for another moment of time. But I'm going to tell you, all the money in the world can't buy you another minute." When God says it is the appointed time, listen, the Bible tells us that to Him belong the issues of death. But you and I, we know about the 70 and 10, but we also understand tonight that we can shorten our days. So when it comes time for you to die, listen, no man has power, listen, over that death. But when death comes, they're going to take your body down there to the hospital. They may perform some tests and determine what they would say was the cause of that death. Then your body's going to be taken down to the funeral home, and the family's going to have to come and make some difficult decisions. I mean, they're going to take you out in this little room. I've been there. I've set you around this table, and you're going to have to make some quick decisions. The family's going to have to decide what kind of casket they want. Going to have to decide what type of service it's going to be. Going to have to figure out what preacher they want to call, if any, whether or not they're going to have singers. And then it's going to come time for that funeral service. Listen, and family and friends are going to gather around, and they're going to try their best to give comforting words to your family. And then everybody's going to pass around one more time and look down in that casket at the face of that one that has departed this world. And then there's going to be the most difficult journey that's ever been taken, as the family follows that loved one and they go down to the graveyard. I mean, it has such finality to it. But listen, understand tonight, listen, that is a part of death, and that it is a part of life. I mean, life is ended, but life goes on.
Yes, sir.
Let me preach on this thought tonight. How to die. 1 first of all, need to understand, as we mentioned, that to God belong the issues of death. That it is God tonight that sets the boundaries of life and death. And that we can shorten our days. That Dr. B.R. Lakin made mention of a message. I don't know what the title was. It may have been this. But he preached about that you die like you live. And he brought out Belshazzar over there in Daniel chapter number 5. When they were having that drunken party. And they even went and got the vessels from the house of God. And they began to use them to have their party in. And then he looked and he saw the fingers of a man's hand. And just to bring it down a little bit, it said that thou art found weighed in the balances and found wanting. What are you saying, preacher? You die like you live. What about Samson, the strongest man in the world? Was a Nazarite. Vowed the vow of a Nazarite. But he could not control them fleshly appetites. Listen, that he was taken captive by them, by the enemy they loved, put out his eyes. He lost his eyesight. He lost his liberty. He lost his fellowship with God, the power of God. And then in the very end, he slew more in the end than he did all the days of his life. You say that may be a good way to die, but I say this tonight. Imagine what victories he'd have wrought if he'd have lived for God, if he'd have separated himself, had he taken seriously that vow that he had vowed before God. Reckon what great works we'd be talking about tonight had he lived wholly unto God.
Sure, brother. Amen. That's good.
He's a righteous man. Yeah, he's mentioned over there in the book of Hebrews.
There he is.
Amen. In Hebrews 11 and 13, we find that these all died in faith.
Yeah.
What victories would he have accomplished? What victories would he have wrought? Then let me say tonight that death is a result of sin. We know that.
Yeah.
I mean, talking in general terms tonight. In Genesis 2 and 17, God speaking to Adam said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But the tree that is in the midst of the garden, he said, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What happened when Eve took of that fruit and her eyes were opened? She gave to her husband and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked. They died spiritually. They were separated from God in that instant. But there was also that death sentence that came upon them because they eventually died physically.
That's right.
Romans 6 and 23 tells us the wages of sin is death. If you look in Genesis chapter number 5, it is the first obituary in the Word of God. You find that the Bible calls him by name Adam, and he begat that son. He lived so many years after he begat that son. And then the last thing that's said about Adam and Seth, and right on down the line, the last thing that is said about them, with the exception of Enoch, is, and he died. I'm saying that death is a result of sin. I was visiting with a man in the hospital yesterday morning, 70 years old, and I'm going on the assumption that he's never been saved. I can't get a straight answer out of him. I walked in the hospital room yesterday morning. I like him a lot. He's a wonderful man as far as that goes. I've talked with him. I've known him for years and years. I walked in. He looked at me. Big old tears come in his eyes. He said, I've always liked you and appreciated you. But he said, I didn't realize how much until last night. I thought it's a good time to get right with God. Listen, as he laid there in that bed, I couldn't get him to make the move. But he understood that he was there because of sin. I'm going to tell you that the answer for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank God. Listen, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I'm glad, thank God, that Hallelujah. That obituary report, he died. You understand tonight in the Old Testament is a testament of death.
Yeah, it is.
That the law is prescribed in the Old Testament. That the law brought death.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, listen, that the law would reveal to them that they were sinners, but without any, was unable to do anything about it.
True.
That's the Old Testament. And in Genesis 5 is the record of death. But in Matthew chapter 1, the New Testament is a record of life.
Yeah,
and it begins with Abraham begat Isaac and so on and so on and so on until we come to Jesus.
Yeah.
Who was supposed to be the son of Joseph. He's the son of God.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, the Old Testament is the testament of death and law. But thank God, I'm glad I'm on this side of Calvary. The New Testament is a testament of grace. It is a testament of life. For when Jesus, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. I'm glad I'm on this side of Calvary.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life with which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. And I'll be honest with you, I like this life of Christ.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
I've tried it both ways. I'd rather live for God than not.
Yeah.
I understand there's pleasure in sin for a season. And it appeals to this flesh.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know about you. I don't like the consequences.
No.
Oh, but thank God, I like living for God.
Mm.
I like walking with God. I like enjoying that fellowship. I like having that life. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That life in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We're in the testament of grace. Let me tell you how to die. That's the introduction. Long introduction, short message. Let me tell you how to die.
Preach on, brother.
First of all, you ought to die saved.
Yeah, amen.
I'm talking about, you know, that death means separation. That physical death is the separation of the soul and the spirit from this body.
From the body.
And when I talk about death, that's what I'm talking about. You see, tonight, because I'm going to live forever.
Forever.
Because I've been saved by the grace of God. I will no longer be separated from God.
No.
Oh no, that's my expectation. When physical death comes to me, I'm going to be with Jesus.
Amen.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God. That's my hope and my expectation.
Yeah.
No wonder John said in Revelation 22, even so,
come
Lord Jesus. No wonder Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. He said, I'm all tore up. He said, it's more needful for you that if I stay in this body, this flesh. But he said, there's a tug from another world. He said, there's something in my soul. And I can feel the tug of glory. Oh, thank God, I can just imagine the strait he was in. You ought to die saved.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You remember hearing about the Titanic, what was it, in 1912? They sent that thing out on its maiden voyage with much fun, fanfare, with a bunch of partying and going and debauchery and everything going on that ship. I mean, the owner of the lines had said that it was unsinkable.
Yeah, what he said.
But you know, that's all it ever did was sink. It didn't even make it on its first trip. Listen, I mean, there was folks on that thing. There was folks that no doubt was educated, uneducated. You had rich and poor. I mean, you had them from all over the social standards. You had them probably from different religions. You had some that were saved and washed in the blood. And you had outright sinners. Listen, they said that when that ship went down, that there in New York Harbor, in that office of that ship line, that they posted a list on the wall. And there was two categories on that list. It said saved and it said lost. There wasn't no middle ground. There wasn't no in between. They was either either saved or lost. In other words, they were either rescued or they died at sea. But I'm going to tell you, when death comes, it's either saved or lost. Y'all to die saved. Thank God there is nothing greater than to leave a testimony when it comes time for you to die. I mean, there's nothing greater that you can leave for your family than a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. My dad, from the time I was a little bitty boy, I mean, he collected guns and knives and cars. His big dream was to open up a junkyard called Reese and Sons. It never happened. But every time he'd go out and get something, he'd say, "This will be for my boys." There was just me and my brother and then a little sister. Said, "This is for my boys." Well, I never thought nothing about it growing up. It never came to pass. I mean, it just never worked out. But when his dad died in back in about 1996 or something like that, he was living in Texas. He drove to Kentucky where he was at. And me and my brother and sister were going to drive up the next morning. But he came back that night. It tore him up. And we stopped at Shoney's down there, and I was walking across the parking lot with him. I said, Dad, "You know this day is going to come for you." I said, "I need to know." I said, "You tell me, I need to know whether you're ready for this day or not." He said, "Son, you know I'm all right." Well, that didn't bring me much comfort. Listen, that "all right" could have meant a lot of different things. But listen, 2001, he's laying on his deathbed. I'd been up to visit him by then. He's living in Rhode Island. The last 2 weeks before he died, my sister went up there and she called me. She said, "He's about dead." And I got him on the phone. And he had that old breathing mask on him. And you couldn't hardly hear him. I said, "Dad, I just need to know. I need you to tell me. I want you to let me in on it. Are you ready to die?" He said, "Son, I just want you to know that everything is okay. Thank God, and the peace of God flooded my soul. I'm saying, die saved."
Amen. Hallelujah, brother.
What a difference it'll make for you.
Oh, yeah.
And what a difference it'll make for them that are left behind.
Amen. Big difference.
Did you ever think about that Philippian jailer? Paul and Silas thrown in jail. Man, they had something, didn't they?
They did.
I mean, down in that dark dungeon, you and I can imagine what it was like. And me, I'll talk about me. I'd have probably been over in the corner feeling sorry for myself. God, I was minding my own business. And now look where I've got. But not Paul and Silas. They begin to sing and pray. They just had church. God had them there for a reason.
Yeah.
But then the Bible talks about that earthquake and every man's bands was loose. And that jailer came in and sprang in and asked for a light. You see, it was his life for theirs. If any of them had escaped, then it would have cost him his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fixing to take his own life. But Paul said, "Wait a minute." Said, "There ain't nobody gone nowhere. We're right here." Listen, you know the rest of the story. That jailer got saved. His family got saved. But how close you reckon he was to hell? How close you reckon he was to death?
Whoa.
Oh, my. What about that thief on the cross?
Yeah.
I mean, there he is, nailed to the cross, condemned for his crime, dying, going to die. No, listen, very soon. How close to death you reckon he was when he got saved by the grace of God?
Amen.
How close you reckon you were?
Yes, true, brother.
How close you reckon you are? I don't know nobody here but me.
Right now.
How close you reckon you are to death? And if you're not saved, how close you reckon you are to hell?
Oh, Lord.
I'm saying tonight that you ought to die saved.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, that's easy enough to fix. I mean, that's the easiest thing in the world to fix.
Thank you, Lord.
You know who makes that difficult?
Yes.
Satan dealing with the flesh.
Yes, Lord.
God made it easy.
Amen.
He's done the hard part.
Yeah.
When Jesus went to Calvary, He done the hard part. He that knew no sin became sin for us, so we might be made the righteous of God in Him. Explain that, preacher. I can't explain it, but I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, thank God. Know that I'm saved by the grace of God and that He done it all. All we have to do is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, listen. What if you had to write out some doctrinal dissertation? What if you had to go knock on 37 doors? Listen, what if you had to spend a year overseas on a mission field in order to get to heaven? But you don't have to. All you got to do is believe and repent, and God will save you.
Amen.
You ought to die saved. But let me tell you this tonight, die satisfied. When it comes time to leave this world, you ought to die satisfied. What was it Paul said to come down to the end of his days? He said, I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. That's a nautical term, means he's ready to set sail. Yeah, thank God. I'm now ready to be offered. I mean, listen, don't you imagine he died satisfied?
Yeah.
I mean, tradition says that he ran down the chopping block.
Yeah.
Let's get this thing over. I've already seen a place, you might have thought. I've already seen on the other side. You ought to die satisfied. We had a lady, she wasn't a member of our church. Some of her family is still a member of our church. The lady that thinks tells folks she's my second mother.
Oh yeah.
It was her niece. She's older than I am. She had cancer a few years ago. Lord called her home. She's ready to meet God. But we went over and had a cottage prayer meeting with her before death came. She's laying there on the bed and family's gathered around. I preached just a few minutes and they got to singing and she's just troubled. Her husband lost. He's still lost. He's about 80 years old, still lost. Got at least one son that is lost. She was so troubled, so concerned. She was dreading death, worried about her family. But there we were in that room, and somebody began to sing, and I forget the song, but I knew the very instant that dying grace come in that heart. I'm talking about, thank God that you can die satisfied.
Yeah, you can.
You may not get everything you want, but you can die satisfied. I'm glad tonight, thank God, there is peace that passeth all understanding.
Thank you, Lord.
I seen an interview several years ago when I was a little boy then, but Martin Luther King was on that airplane and they thought it was going to crash and he was on the Tonight Show or something and the host asked him about it and he told him he was scared. He said, I thought you believed in grace. He said, well, yeah. He said, at that moment, I had living grace, but I didn't have dying grace. Listen, I'm telling you tonight, there is grace for every need. I'm saying that when it comes time to die, thank God you may not think about it now. You may worry about it now. But I'm saying you can die satisfied because the grace of God is enough.
Yeah, amen. That's good, brother.
There's grace you've not needed yet. I got a call one Wednesday evening. A young lady called, wanted me to come visit her mother. Her mother was a member of her church. She'd been in and out and back and forth and up and down. And she'd been gone for so long, I didn't even know what happened to her. The daughter called and said, Mama's dying. Would you come and see her? Would you come and have prayer with her? And I asked her how to get there. And she told me, and after church, I went out. They were all standing out on the porch, and so the daughter took me and led me back in through this house, down a hallway, and in this bedroom, and there she lay in the hospital bed. And the daughter reached over and said, Mommy, Mommy, will you wake up? And she opened her eyes, and she seen me, and her first words was, Am I dying? Listen, I'm telling you, she didn't have dying grace. She'd been away from God. She didn't listen. She wasn't able to die satisfied in that moment.
You're telling it right.
Listen, because her heart wasn't right with God.
Nope.
My dad's mother was a harsh woman. I wasn't there. I was about 15 when she died. Harsh woman. They said as she lay in the hospital bed dying of cancer, two preachers, she was up in hospital in Lexington, Kentucky. They said when the preachers come to visit her, two preachers, she cussed them and told them to go, to leave. As far as I know, she died and went to hell.
Oh, God.
Died, listen, there was no satisfaction in her.
Oh, Lord.
She didn't die satisfied. Mm-hmm. Cursed them preachers. The Bible said there is no peace, saith my God. Under the wicked. Let me hurry along tonight. You can die saved, die satisfied, but you ought to die serving the Lord.
Serving Him.
Everything about the Apostle Paul's life and after his conversion suggests that Paul served God till the end of his life.
It's true, brother.
What about John the Baptist? Lost his head as a result of serving God. I'm going to tell you, your service may not cause your death, but you should be serving God at death.
Amen.
That's good. You ought to still be walking with God.
Amen.
You understand there's no retirement on this side.
Amen.
We're laying up treasures over yonder. I'm about 11 years and 2 or 3 weeks away from Social Security, and I'm not expecting to get it. I'm looking to lay up some treasures over yonder.
Yeah. Amen.
Where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. But thank God we can be serving God. I remember about an 84-year-old preacher when we started out in the old store building. Walter Allen started our little church and we was in that old store building. An 84-year-old preacher, and he'd get up, and I'm not exaggerating. You could see his pant legs a shaking where his knees was a wobbling. Because he was so weak, but he was still serving God.
Still
on the road for God.
Yeah.
My grandmother went home to be with the Lord about 2005. She was 80 years old. She'd had a couple of strokes and couldn't hardly walk. I got to be her pastor. How about that? Whoo! She couldn't hardly walk. And that old hand be crippled. And she'd come staggering into church house.
Still serving.
And every now and then she'd sing, "I'll face nobody's record but my own."
Oh. Yeah.
Woo!
That's right.
Amen.
Just your own.
Sometimes she'd sing, "I'll wear a white robe."
Yeah.
"I'll wear a white robe." I mean, 80 years old in a crippled body and still serving God.
Yeah.
Right before she died, sometime before she died, me and my wife was taking care of our oldest grandson. He's 13 and a half, almost 14. From the time he was 6 months till about 2 years, his daddy was in Iraq. And my daughter was working, so we had him 3 or 4 days a week. And at that age, you can't just expect him to sit around. My grandmother lived just around the road, about 100, 150 yards. I put him in the stroller, and I walked out there to visit Granny. And one of them old coal mining houses, shotgun houses, had two front doors. You just walked around in a circle. And we walked down the steps across the sidewalk about 4 foot. There wasn't no grass. As kids, we kept it down. You got out there and swept the yard. You didn't have to mow the grass. Walked up on the porch carrying that grandson. It was dark. She never had an air conditioner. She put a fan in the window and sat there and fan and sang. You could hear a lot of times singing from the old hymn book.
Hallelujah.
Walked up on that porch and stuck my head in the door where I could see her. And she had her hard of hearing by then. And she had her head down. And I could hear she was a praying. I just kept a hold of that grandbaby and I stepped back out and walked up the steps.
Mm-hmm.
You say you didn't go in and sit down? No, I didn't want to bother. She might have been praying for me.
That's right, Tom.
Oh, about the time I got up the top of them steps, she hollered at me and she said, "Come on down here. I'm glad I got a praying grandma back there. Listen, I thank God that she was serving God when she died. I'm glad, listen, for them old saints of God, even got some in this hour that are are still serving God. I mean, their steps have grown slow. Their hands are feeble. Their eyes are dim. But they're still serving God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I ought to be serving God when we die. Them physical problems may limit our abilities, but we ought to still be serving God when we die. My mother lived in apartments. There was a lady two or three doors down that my mother would go and clean her house and go grocery shopping for and take her to the doctors. And she's been gone probably 10 or 12 years, this lady as well. Her name was Miss Heron. And she used to watch the TV preachers. Local station, my mother called me and said, Miss Heron, my neighbor's been watching you on Saturday morning. She said, and I told her, I'd tell you, come and visit her. She said, now listen, she said, son, she's got diabetes real bad and she can't hardly walk. She said, so when you knock on the door, she said, just give her time. So I went to visit, knock on that door, and I'd stand and stand and stand. And honestly, I mean, I don't know how she was walking. Mm-hmm. She'd walk over to that door. One of the godliest women I ever met in my life. I mean, been a Sunday school teacher for years and years and years. I mean, I'd go sit in her class and listen to her. I mean, she had that much wisdom. But she's still serving God. She couldn't get up and couldn't go, but she's still serving God. And maybe the last time I went to visit her before she went home to be with the Lord, I always stood in the door and she would sit over there and I'd stand there and I'd stand. I didn't do much talking. I don't do much talking anyway. But about all I could do is say, how are you, Miss Heron? And it was on. I mean, I just got my Sunday school lesson. I'd stand there 45 minutes or an hour. Even after I told her, Miss Heron, I got to go. It went on. My back would hurt. My feet would hurt. But there was just something about this dear old lady. About the last time I stand above the door and I said, well, Miss Heron, I've got to go. I said, I'd like to have prayer with you before I go. She said, okay. She said, I got one request. She said, would you let me hold your hands while we pray? So I walked over there and she took hold of my hands. And we began to pray, and I'm going to tell you, about 30 seconds in, I just quit.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, them big old hot tears began to roll down her face. And she began to praise the Lord for being able to hold the hands of one that held the Word. And she began to pray for me.
Wow.
I'm telling you, you can serve God till you die.
Yes, you can.
And it can mean something for somebody. You can die serving. Let me close with this tonight. You can die shouting. So we said, tradition tells us that the Apostle Paul ran to the chopping block. I'm saying tonight that you can die shouting, that you can have victory in your soul when it comes down to the end of the way. There was a man by the name of A.J. Gordon, and he called his wife to his bedside. He was dying. And he told her, he said, I want you to pick out some hymns. So she began to sing, and then he went into a coma. Later that evening, he aroused for just a bit, and one of his friends asked him, said, do you have any word before you go?
Yeah.
And he cried, victory! And then he went out into glory.
Hallelujah.
I heard the story of the soldier years ago, the battlefield. The nurse was tending the soldiers. I've heard it a couple of different ways. But while the nurse was tending other soldiers, there was one over in the corner that cried, here, here. The nurse running over thinking there was something bad wrong with him. And she said, what can I do? Is there anything, what can I do to help you? And he said, nothing. So she went back to working on somebody else. So the same thing happened a second time. Here, here.
Here.
Went through the same thing. The third time said, here, here? And she said, asked, why do you keep crying here, here? And he just smiled and said, oh, nurse, said, they're just crawling, rolling, heaven. And I'm just answering my name. I'm saying tonight that you can die a shouting. You can die with how to die. You see, death ought not be a thing that is dreaded, especially for a child of God. Die saved, die serving, die satisfied, die shouting. Tonight, listen, I don't know where you stand with God, but I know this, there's a God in heaven that loves you tonight. I'm glad tonight there's a God in heaven wants to meet your need. God in heaven wants to give you victory, help you to overcome fear. That fear tonight, that you can have victory in your soul.